This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
Yeah, I want to know what the Bible says about wives' tales.
Wives' tales? Gossip, things not founded in fact and truth, just avoid them. I'm not saying that some things that are these old wisdom sayings aren't good. Some of them are. But generally speaking, wives' tales are just statements or beliefs or superstitions and things like that. Folklore, so you don't have to worry about it.
Number 5.
I have a quick definition on the ontological and the economic trinity.
The trinity is the teaching that there's one God in three distinct simultaneous persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The ontological trinity deals with the nature, ontos, which means the essence. The ontological trinity states that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all divine. God is one simple thing that's called divine simplicity. And so in the doctrine of the Trinity, we have sub-doctrines. One of them is called the ontological trinity, which teaches that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all divine. They are all God. The economic trinity comes from the Greek word oikonomia, and it has to do with an arrangement of things. We get the word economy from that. And so the economic trinity deals with a distinction of the function between the members of the Godhead. So the Father sent the Son, the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not send the Father or the Son, only the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Number 4.
I don't know of any place in Scripture that says that Jesus laughed or was particularly joyful. Here's a question, though. Does God laugh in the Trinitarian communion? Does he have joy? I think that might also be a necessary qualification for personhood, since we're made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. I just did think of something, though. Because a marriage is a time of joy, and there's going to be a marriage feast of the Lamb. And Revelation 19 talks about this. So maybe in that, there would be the implication of the joy of the Lord in that sense.
Number 3.
Hi, I'm a fellow Christian. I am soon going to begin a peace revolution against circumstances that are prominent and catastrophic in the world, mainly violence, racism, and social discrimination, or any others I can tackle along this journey of mine. My mission was inspired by God Himself to me many weeks ago, and I haven't put a solid plan together just yet, but basically God anointed me to be His disciple to learn in life and share the truth with all, for I have much to say and much to even write about. I have done a lot of things involving assisting people with their situations and problems, helping them understand God, and who is He that most are unaware about. I want to take my role outside into the real world. I want to make an even larger impact among the people. I admit to my being a Bible novice. Yeah, I would say so. You can tell this person, you know, I mean, put it nicely, does not have all his paws in the litter box.
Number 2.
What's the fundamental relationship / difference between a pastor, elders, deacons, and trustees?
I don't know what a trustee is. That's not an office given in Scripture. The apostle in the New Testament economy has priority. The prophets in the New Testament are spoken of in 1 Corinthians 14, and they have the gift of prophesying. Ephesians 4 deals with the hierarchical structure within the church. And we have there in verse 11, apostles and prophets, which already dealt with, and evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. So we also have deacons. And deacons are servants, but the pastor is also an elder by definition, because the elders are the ones who preach and teach. And you go to 1 Timothy 5:17 for that. So the hierarchical structure within the church deals with pastors, teachers, deacons. That's the order.
Number 1.
Hey, I didn't know it was possible to hate anyone as much as I hate you. How about that? That's a good start. See, folks, if you're going to write something that's insulting, you just get right to it. A guy obviously wrote this because, you know, you'd beat around the bush. This is right in there. You got to get in there. You got to do that. All you blood-sucking parasites think that it is okay to get unlimited amounts of free work out of people after you've taken the whatever dollars from your calloused hands. I can hardly keep up with the work I've got to do now. I don't need more work to do. I hate you. I curse you. I consider it my Christian duty to pray for your death. Wow. Only paid Christians are under the Great Commission. What? Because no work can be done without pay. Because a bunch of verses. Last year we paid over $10 billion to the clergy, and we don't have a single soul to show. Wow.
Goodbye, goodbye. It's time to go.
Saying goodbye, why is it sad? Makes us remember the good times we've had.
Y'all come back now, here.
I always trust a guy named Matt Slick on the radio.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.